All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, world. My name is Dale Thronberry, CW-2 type helicopter pilot, Vietnam 1969. Welcome to Veterans Radio. Today we're going to be talking about a treatment center over in North Chicago. It's at the James A. Lovell Veterans Hospital there. And we've got a number of guests in the, that we're going to be talking to. One is going to be a psychologist there. His name is Dr. John Shout. And so I'm excited to talk with him on the air after we take a little break here. But joining me in the studio today is our good friend, Navy CB, I know, can do, Larry St. Augustine. Larry, welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Dale. It's St. Antoine, but that's okay.
All right, I'll get it right. St. Antoine, St. Antoine, I got it. Larry St. Antoine. It's an Navy CB. Larry, we'll just talk about that. Larry's on the program today because you went through the program up in North Chicago, and we're going to get to that a little bit later on. But you also wanted to mention another organization, and I wanted to give you some time to talk about the Warriors and Caregivers.
Yeah, it's a local post 9/11 group that they're fairly new. They're just starting out, and the local chapter 310 of the VVA has helped them get started. And it's a great program for young veterans. Basically, what it does is it brings the caregivers, the family, in on it. And they have meetings, they have get-togethers, and they also have clinics. So it's something that I think is worthwhile looking into for the younger vets that have questions, because they help with working with the VA. They, like I said, they have meetings. They also know different therapists that you can get a hold of in different organizations if you need help monetarily wise.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's really important in the name there is the caregivers, because a lot of the attention is just given to the veteran. It's not necessarily given to the family that is, you know, just out there wondering what's going to happen to their soldier when they get home, and how are they going to act, and how they're going to behave, and where do they go for this help. And I know in today's world of social media that a lot of the spouses are connected while their significant other is overseas. But this gives them an opportunity. And as you mentioned, it's kind of a continuation of the Vietnam veterans wanting to help the next generation of veterans so that they don't get left out.
Definitely. What we're trying to do is save them the problems we had to go through. If it's something that, you know, my father always said, learn by someone else's mistake, and then you don't have to go through it. And even North Chicago mentions, when I first got there, that if it wasn't for the Vietnam veterans, of them being there for 18 to 20 years when they were working with them, they would not be where they're at right now.
Right, with their program. And I think that's our legacy. You know, that's the Vietnam veterans' legacy to the next generation, is that we want to make sure that they are taken care of. And so it's going to get very interesting as we go along through this political season, as we start talking about more and more of these issues. But the Warrior and Caregivers United has a website, and you can find lots of information. They are a 501c3 organization. You can make donations to them. Their website is www.wacu.org. WACU.org. A lot of great information on there where you can help out and so forth. They've got some nice activities that they also provide activities for the returning veterans and their families. And a lot of them are together.
Definitely.
Is that my understanding?
Definitely, yes.
Family oriented things.
They always try to keep the family involved. The family went through the same stress as a veteran. They had to be at home. Nowadays, with cell phones and computers and everything, the family is almost in the war with the veteran, because they're going through it with them every day. So hopefully that anybody out there that is interested, give them a call. Call your local VVA, your local Legion or VFW. But mainly the VVA has more information about the WACU.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just looking at their services that they do offer. It says they have monthly veteran and caregiver mentoring functions. I know that at our own meetings, the VVA meetings, that they have talked about looking for mentors so to help these guys through their systems. They have a healthy eating information. We talked about this last week, but how diet affects your mental processes. Retreat information for veterans and caregivers, information on how to apply for financial needs, and especially providing soldiers and caregivers with depression and anxiety tips and strategies, which reminds me, as many of you who listen to Veterans Radio on a regular basis, last week on our program, we did talk about suicide and saying that, you know, suicide is not the solution. Let me give out that crisis number to you again, just in case you're one of those out there that's thinking not such good thoughts. We want to make sure that you stay around. So call 800-273-8255, press the number 1, and that takes you straight to a veterans counselor who can help you out, I promise you. So call 800-273-8255 and press that number 1. So we're going to learn more about the Warriors and Caregivers United, because there is an event coming up, but I think it's a kind of a private event for most of the members of the organization. So we'll find out more about that. It's October 9th, and I'll report back on that on the 9th program that we do on October 9th. So thanks, Larry, for sharing that. I think it's a great organization, and it's a new organization, and it's something that, you know, everybody's trying to figure out how to help these men and women that are coming back from overseas, and this is just another example of how veterans helping veterans, and that's what we advocate here on Veterans Radio, and that's what we try to do in our everyday life, just help each other out the best we can. We had your back when you were overseas. We've got your back now that you're home. A couple of other events coming up as a result of our talk last week is there's going to be a Defeat Depression Dash, a 5K run and walk in person or virtual if you want to do that, a 1 mile run for kids. And this is going to, this is sponsored by the National Network of Depression Centers here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And it's Saturday, October 15th. And it's in Ann Arbor. Join us for our second annual Defeat Depression Dash. And for more information, let's see, you got to go to www.defeatdepression-dash.org. That's defeatdepression-dash.org. Saturday, October 25th, 2016. And it's in the morning. And for more information, you can go to that website and find it. I think it sounds like it's going to be kind of fun. For those of you who like to run, I walk. I do walking. I don't do walking things. The other thing coming up is the USS Detroit. And where did that go? There it is. The USS Detroit is being commissioned in downtown Detroit on the Riverwalk on October 22nd. At 11 a.m., and so there are people are invited. Evidently, there are no more general admission tickets left, but my understanding is that the Wednesday before that Saturday of the 22nd, there you'll have opportunities to tour the brand-new USS Detroit, which is made. They've got steel in there from the World Trade Center. It's one of the parts of this. It's kind of cool, I think. So remember that, the commissioning ceremony, October 22nd at 11 a.m., the GM Riverwalk at the Rensen. It will be tied up. I'm not a Navy guy, so I don't know what they talk. It's going to be there, docked. I guess it will be tied up there on the GM Riverwalk starting on the Wednesday before that Saturday. So check it all out. And then finally, for everybody who's looking for a job, which is always all of us, not all of us, but a lot of veterans are looking for jobs, and again, job fairs. We've got to help you guys out, right? And this is what we're going to do. November 3rd, 2016, from 11 to 3 p.m. at Ford Field in Detroit, Michigan. That's November 3rd, 2016, 11 to 3 p.m. at Ford Field. Recruit Military is holding an event in Detroit. And this is for any military veterans and military spouses. Connect with employers that like to attract, hire, and retain America's best talent. They produce a free veterans career fair for veterans, transitioning military personnel, National Guard members, and your spouses. That's the big word right there. I think help out your spouses, too. They've done this before. I think you'll find that it's very helpful. It says Peter Gunnmundsson. Ooh, that's a good Swedish name. Said 56% of job seekers expected to secure an interview, which they did, which is really kind of cool. So for more information, go to recruitmilitary.com. It's recruitmilitary.com. Write it on your calendar. and that is November 3rd, 2016, 11 until 3. All right. I think that's it for announcements for today. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Dr. John Shout will be on, and Larry Saint-Antoine will be on. Is that close enough?
Good enough.
All right, for government work. So you're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back. And we're back on Veterans Radio today, and I want to make sure that if you want to get in on the conversation, you got to give us a call here at Veterans Radio. Our local number is 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600. If you're calling from way out of state, you can give us a call toll-free at 844-838-1600, 844-838-1600. And joining me on the line right now is a clinical psychologist who is with the James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center and is part of the Stress Disorder Treatment Unit, and that is Dr. John Shout. Doctor, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks so much. Great to be have the privilege to be on with you. And greetings, Larry.
How you doing, Doc?
Never better. Great to hear your voice again.
It's always good to hear yours. I really appreciate you.
Well, we're going to be talking with these two gentlemen about the program that they have at the Lovell Federal Health Care Center. Dr. Shutt, I wanted to just let our audience know a little bit of your background. It says that you went to Rutgers University. Are you?
That's right. About 1,000 years ago, I graduated in 1992. Then I did my postdoctoral training with the Dallas VA. That kind of launched me into the VA system. So
okay. And so tell us, are you from the East Coast originally?
No, I'm a Midwesterner. Probably Larry would say I'm a flatlander, because I'm from the farm country of Illinois. I grew up in a rural area and kind of hung out in the Midwest, and then just went out to the East Coast for my doctorate.
Oh, okay. I was just kind of curious how you ended up at Rutgers. But okay, so in 92 you graduated and you went to Dallas, first of all. When did you arrive at North Chicago?
November 1992, so I got a few years behind me here.
It sounds like you have a little bit of experience. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Well, as I like to say, and Larry would probably attest to this, I've been trained by the best.
Well, Larry only has praise for this whole program, and he's been on me for a year or so or more, probably to try and get you to come on and talk about the program. And I think it just sounds like a great opportunity for veterans, no matter what conflict they were in or what their ages are, it sounds like. So can you tell me about the stress disorder treatment unit that you have there at Lovell?
I'll give you the short story, which is it was one of the first PTSD programs in the country. It goes back to 1982. Right now it's a 7-week program originally, and it's a residential program. It's really important, and Larry can attest to this, that it's not a locked psychiatric unit. It's more like an open campus, more like a dorm. It originally was, actually a program that served about, I think, 6 vets the first year, because they had no length of stay. You could stay eternally. So they had one group that came in, and then over time that kind of shifted as we learned more about the treatment. And it became a 12-week program. Then it's now a 7-week program, in part because we kind of look at PTSD as a chronic issue where, you know, you can kind of resolve something, and then something might trigger you. Maybe somebody has an anniversary time. Maybe they retire. Maybe something happens. An illness, a loss, it kind of activates the PTSD symptoms. Mm-hmm. And so we've been a lot more flexible with bringing people in.
Larry, how did you get involved with this program?
Well, originally, I didn't, just like anybody else, coming out of, I spent 19 months in Vietnam, and coming out, I wasn't exactly myself. And my drug was alcohol. So alcohol got me, I lost jobs, lost relationships, and continue on that until I finally met someone who's meant something in my life, who I'm married to right now. But finally, someone talked me into going to the VA, and that was maybe 8 years ago. So I spent the first 40-some years kind of taking care of myself. So, but the VA, just the once-a-week clinic groups and things like that, they just never seemed to help me. So I did get a private psychologist. I was able to at least afford, and the person I got, you know, really dropped the price, you know, because I was paying myself. And she's the one that recommended I go to North Chicago. And that's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Well, Dr. Shout, do you need to have a referral to get into this program?
It's pretty ideal to have a referral. One thing is that since you mentioned the Captain James at Lovell Federal Health Care Center, our handbook and our application is all on that website. So that's an important thing for people to know. If they want to read up on the program, if they want to read up, if they want to download an application, they can do that. The reason we kind of look for a referral, ideally, is that the program can be pretty intense. If you haven't really kind of touched the, at all on unpacking any of the trauma, it can be pretty overwhelming to step into a program where you're going to be working on that for 7 weeks. So if people have some kind of contact with some kind of therapist, provider, that kind of at least familiarizes them a little bit about what the work's like, that's kind of where the referral part comes in. That's part of, you know, there's very few rules coming in, you know. People can't be in, like, an acute psychiatric crisis where they feel homicidal or suicidal, that kind of thing. But we want them to be stable enough, and having an outside referral kind of gives them someone to kind of compare notes with until but it's not an absolute. If someone's they can make a self-referral, we can evaluate their application, and we always encourage people to have providers because when you kind of leave the program, it's good to have someone to kind of come back to and do the follow-up with. So,
well, I'm really kind of curious about this whole thing because for people that want to know more information about this whole program, and we're going to be talking a lot more about it, but you can go to our website, Veterans Radio, right now, and on the front page, I've got links to all the different things at the Lovell Federal Health Care Center and the applications and so on and so forth that they can find. Because it took me a little while to go through the program of the, you know, VA.gov to this to find these things. So it's there for you. If you have a question for either Larry or for the doctor, please give us a call here on Veterans Radio today at 734-822-1600, or toll-free 844-838-1600. That's 844-VET-1600.
So, can I add one thing about the referral process? Is that
absolutely.
Okay? Is that okay?
Go right ahead.
Our strongest referral base is veterans like Larry. You know, any veteran will tell you that the credibility comes from each other. And we've kind of built a reputation of having partnership with the Veterans Reserve. That's why, you know, you and I both know veterans would not come if there wasn't one veteran telling another. And so with all the referrals and the professionals that are out there, I think it's the veteran that really helped build our program. And I, when I said I was trained by the best, I was very sincere. You know, when you're 23 years and, if it wasn't the partnership, you know, we have with vets, they kind of come in, they kind of work together as a squad. And, I always say my job is more to direct traffic while the veterans kind of offer therapy to each other.
I think that's one of the things that I've found in researching this and other things about post-traumatic stress is that it needs to be veteran centered. And that it's incumbent upon the veteran himself to make that decision. Okay, I need help, and that's the threshold there that I think is so difficult. So for so many of us to pass over is to admit that we have a problem. Would you agree with that, Larry?
Definitely. I think one thing that needs to be said about North Chicago is I'm the type of person, I just don't believe someone that says they're going to do something for me or things like that. It took me years to join the VVA, and they've been around a long time. And then they had to prove it to me that, you know, I wasn't going there to socialize or to drink and stuff like that. And one of the first group meetings we had at North Chicago, you know, they asked any questions. I says, are you going to cure me? And I said, they said, I'm sorry, but, you know, there's no cure for this. We'll learn, we'll teach you to cope with it, learn to live with it, and we'll show you what triggers might trigger you, and we'll help you along, but you're never going to be cured of it. Now, I've had other veterans tell me that the VA, some of the VA people might say, well, you know, we'll cure you within a certain amount of time. That is one thing that impressed me about North Chicago. And then, you know, there was other things that came up. But if you're going to go to a place like that, you got to be committed. You can't say, well, I won't go to this class because I don't need it. You know, I don't take any drugs. I've never taken drugs. But I still sat in on the drug classes because I learned the reasons why some people were taking drugs. And if I ever had to, at least I know what's going on.
Well,
I still sat in the classes because...
Well, I think that's important because I think probably some of the alcohol that we've imbibed with is probably as bad an addiction as some of those other things are.
Definitely. But you have to go in there with an open mind, but you also have to, you know, like Doc said, there's not a lot of rules there. It is open. You can leave anytime you want, but also you can get kicked out anytime you want. If you don't follow the procedures.
I did notice some of the protocols in there about, you know, you almost give them like a weekend pass if they, you know, if they've met all of their obligations for that week.
Well, after the first week, everybody has to stay there the first weekend, but then you can go home at every weekend after that. Of course, you have to pass some tests when you come back and, you know, a little sample here and, you know, stuff like that. But I went home every weekend.
Oh, okay. Dr. Schott, you wanted to say something about that?
Sure. The reason for the pass is really beginning of second week. We wanted to get settled in the first weekend. But it's the idea that you want to be able to kind of go back and test the water a little bit on the weekend and make contact with your family or even just get out in the local community and to see how those coping skills are working out. Now, one factor, though, is if someone comes in with a serious substance abuse issue, they're not eligible until their fourth weekend. Because we have people that are really highly relapse-prone. And I agree, you know, alcohol is probably the most predominant means of self-medication out there. And I would guess probably any one time, probably three-quarters of the people in the program at least have some substance issue. So that's why we have classes that address that. And as Larry said, you know, when you go out and you come back, you give a breathalyzer, you give a urine drop, and that's, you know, just to kind of help sustain safety and, you know, remind people that it's important to stay clean. Because you really, if you are self-medicating, you really can't do the intensive work, you know, that's, you know, it'll work against what people come there in the first place for.
Well, I think, again, from what I've read about it and from what Larry has told me is that if you commit to this thing, that's a serious commitment to make. And I think that we're hoping that, you know, you just can't go in there and say, well, I'll go home and have a couple of drinks or something like that and then try to come back and, you know, it's like you didn't learn anything. Well, you know, weren't you paying attention? And say, we got to take a break coming up here in about a minute. So I'm going to kind of do a little filling in here as we go along. We really do. If you have a question out there, we'd like you to give us a call. We're talking with Dr. John Schott from the Stress Disorder Treatment Unit at the James Lovell Federal, the VA out in North Chicago. Too long a name to remember all these different
things. You know why it got a long name? Because it's also, we serve active duty people.
You're right there.
And we serve both active Department of Defense people as well as veterans. That's why it got the renamed.
Okay.
Yeah,
anyway,
the VA hospital is right there.
Okay. Well, that's convenient. Yeah. Anyway, give us a call at 734-822-1600 or toll-free 844-838-1600. So we're going to be taking a break for news, and then we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Give us a call. We've got a lot more information we want to share about this specific program that they have out there in North Chicago, Illinois. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We're back on Veterans Radio, and we're talking with Dr. John Shout and Larry San Antoine about the treatment center that's going on at North Chicago at the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center, and specifically in the Stress Disorder Treatment Unit. I wanted to know, Doctor, if you could kind of take me personally. Let's suppose that I got in touch with you, and you said, okay, come on down. What do I go through that first day or so? And Larry, you can feel free to jump in on this, too, if you want to.
Larry, did you have something? You want me to?
No, you go ahead, Doc. I'll follow you.
Well, typically we try to bring people in, get them familiar with the unit, let them settle in, meet the other veterans. Often they kind of greet each other and kind of give them a welcome home. There's a lot of, I think, real important parallels that go with the program. Like, people come in, and everyone knows from being in the military what it's like to be a new guy. And so the people that have been there for a while, they kind of greet them. We have a program concept called the Big Brother, where people look out after new guys that come in, other veterans. they'll get a room. They'll typically have a roommate. We'll do like a physical workup and physical lab work, because it is a hospital, just to kind of see what kind of basic health issues I have. So that's kind of the first couple of days, is running around and doing that kind of thing. And then we'll bring them into the program, which typically we have a small group that we call the trauma group. It's kind of like their squad. They'll be there with a therapist and probably typically like 6 to 9 veterans in the group with them. That's kind of what I consider the heart of the program, where people will kind of establish that relationship where they can talk about their traumas. And we always make a point to talk about what's the most upsetting thing first, because it's a very difficult thing, but the veterans help each other to kind of feel that sense of safety in the group. Around, beside the trauma group, there's a whole set of what Larry was talking about, coping skill classes. Even if there isn't an active substance abuse issue, PTSD, as I say, kind of a, as you know, besides the traumatic experience themselves, there's the whole fight and flight pattern that goes with that, that kind of keep people hyperactivated and also avoiding not only the trauma, but often avoiding life. So mm-hmm. We have a lot of classes that kind of focus on substance use, that focus on PTSD and its effects on the family, anger management, identifying feelings, emotions, dealing with kind of irrational thinking and how that kind of gets driven by PTSD. And so the program kind of goes throughout the week like that. The trauma groups meet 3 times a week, and then the other programs, classes around that are built to kind of help cope with it. Okay. That's kind of a basic thumbnail. Then, as Laurie said, beginning your second weekend, you're PASS eligible and can go out there, unless you have a significant substance issue, then we are more conservative about that.
So Larry, how would your typical day go there after the first week?
Well, basically it starts out with a meeting for the whole group, the whole floor. And we also elect, I can't remember, we have like a chairman or someone like that.
Right, there's a little war government.
Yeah, a little, you know, government, you know, where you have a master at arms and you have this and that. And we once a week, we elect them. But at the meetings in the morning, they're the ones that that set up the meetings and stuff like that. And we introduce each other, you know, where we were at, what branch of the service and stuff like that. And any new people coming in. Plus, this hasn't been mentioned, but once you've gone there, once you've done your 7 weeks, you can come back anytime. You can sit in on the classes every day if you want to, or you can actually come in and do another 7 weeks. You don't need a referral or anything once you've been there. But then you have your classes. Like Doc said, we have spirituality, but we always have the trauma class. And those are the most important. And I was impressed that the classes included both Vietnam veterans and post 9/11 veterans. Mm-hmm. It was very telling to see the young people coming in and their traumas and how they faced them, and sometimes you even thought, oh, mine wasn't so bad, you know, these young kids going through there. But and then you can also give them some help, because they're asking for your opinion too of what they should have done or how they handled it and things like that. So, and then you had yoga classes. You had
yoga.
Oh yeah, and they had a room with a pool table and things like that for our off time after classes. And then every once in a while we go on a field trip.
Yeah, tell me about one of those field trips. You mentioned it before. You went to a horse farm,
a therapeutic riding stable. I mean, the people at that stable just. A whole busload of veterans come in, and they close it down for the day, just for the veterans, free, no charge. Yeah. The first time I went, it was really interesting because they had, 12 horses set up, and a couple of them were Clydesdales.
Whoa.
And they were doing a special on it, too, that was on the television for the therapeutic riding for the veterans. And they interviewed them and everything else like that. But there were some veterans that didn't want to ride, so they just watched, or they had them working young horses in a round pen. Mm-hmm. And to be able to work a young horse, even if it's a two-year-old or a yearling, that's a big horse. And it made these people feel great that they were able to handle that horse, and that horse would show a little affection and love for them. The next time we went, some of those people who didn't want to ride that did that, they were on the horses. They were ready to go. And so the clinic, you know, they have art there too. You do mm-hmm. ceramics, you do, there's all kinds of artwork in the place that the veterans have done, mm-hmm. the hanging on the walls and things like that. So there's a lot of things to do, but the basic thing, I think, were the 3 trauma classes a week. It brought everything out. You told your trauma. You gave an idea to the people what you felt about that trauma and what you felt about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Schout, did you find that sometimes it's very difficult to get these traumatic stories out of the veterans?
Well, we try to create an atmosphere where a person feels safe for that. And that's what the other veterans, having the other veterans in the group, is all about, really, because they'll sit in the group and they'll see another veteran offer his experience, and that there's support for that, and that's the most powerful, you know, welcome people can have to take in such a big. As you said, you know, the biggest step really is getting in the program in the first place, and then after that, it's putting the trauma out there. But it's such a, I can't underscore enough how important it is to have other veterans there to support that. And as Larry said, having multi-generations of veterans in there, you know, Desert Storm, Vietnam, the current wars, having all that mix is really a positive, because there's the wisdom that's shared there, there's the experience and the common ground that, you know, combat's combat, no matter, if you got mud or sand in your boots, you know, there's that common ground that it just transcends everything.
I think it had to be very helpful to realize that sometimes I think many veterans don't tell their stories because they don't think it's that important, and that they're the only ones that ever experienced these things. And I think it sounds like by talking with Larry and talking with you just now is that when this story comes out and you're surrounded by a bunch of other veterans, you suddenly realize that, hey, I'm not the only one that is going through this journey right now. And it's great to have them all here to help me, you know, to my recovery, whatever that recovery may be.
Very, very well said, you know, and it's an environment that's supportive. You know, it's a non-judgmental, understanding-oriented environment. You know, so people aren't going to pick apart geography, ballistics, anything about the technical details. It's really about, you know, the fundamental issues that go with trauma and just getting it out there.
So some of the other things, I'm looking at your orientation handbook that I've got here on the computer. And everybody, you can find it. Again, go to our website, or you can go to the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Healthcare Center and look up Stress Disorder Treatment Unit. It's all there, the application to get into the program and everything, of the all the expectations that they have for you. And also, I think it points out, because there's a little diagram with you in the middle, and I'm talking about the one with the blue circles in there, and it's got you, your hopes and your dreams are in the middle of this diagram, and there are spokes going out all around. One is to the family and friends. Number two is our spirituality. Three is our culture and community, our living environment, health and wellness, vocational education, sexuality, and values and beliefs. And so, Larry, I guess you could address this as one who's gone through this. Did it kind of open your eyes to all of these different things that maybe you'd shut down?
Well, basically what it did was, you know, sharing that with the other veterans and seeing them come up, it made you feel good about them, and then it made you feel good about yourself. A veteran to veteran is the best thing, and then a veteran to the family is another step in that in that instance. I even saw in North Chicago where a veteran, my roommate, was having problems. They brought his family in. They brought them all in from Wisconsin, and they spent a day with him in a classroom. And when they left, they understood what was going on, because they had never heard his trauma before. They never knew what happened to him over in Afghanistan. And so it opened their eyes, and it brought that family close together. And the same thing happens with all these veterans in that trauma class. You have, like Doc said, 9 to 12. You have a squad. You have your own squad. And they're different races. They're different ethnics, you know, like you say. And they just come together and protect each other. You begin the class where you say, nothing leaves this class. This is our class. It doesn't go to another class. And there's nothing you can't say in this class. There's nothing that you haven't done that's so bad that you can't tell us about it. So there's a lot of things that we actually, that came out in those classes that, you know, could be shocking but understandable to the veterans that are in there. So, yeah, we all grew. If we wanted to, I'm gonna keep saying that. If you wanna get better, you do get with the program. You don't fight the program. If you come in there thinking that I'm gonna do what I wanna do and I'll pick the classes I wanna pick and I'm gonna come out fine, you're in for a big disappointment.
Well, I agree. I would think that you're setting yourself up for failure.
Well, there were people in my class, you know, when I was there, that got sent home, or they just left, you know.
Dr. Shout, is this an unusual type of program, that the 7-week residential? Oh, I know what my other question was. Is it done on a rotating basis, or do people come in throughout the entire 7 weeks? Like if Larry's in his second week and somebody comes in at the beginning, does he go into your class?
Yes. Yes.
It has both, actually. There's a program called Cognitive Processing Treatment, called CPT, that a lot of VAs offer on an outpatient basis. We offer it residentially as well. For that group, there's kind of a sequence. So for that cohort, they come in together and leave together. For the other two trauma groups, it's more rotating. And as I said, it's a little bit kind of like probably similar to when Larry's in Vietnam. People come in, they rotate out, new people come in. So there's both options in the program.
I wanted to ask a question because this is co-educational, right? There are male and female veterans going through the program at the same time.
We've had females, yep.
That's a yep, yeah.
Obviously, they have their own room.
Well, yeah.
Right.
We also have companion dogs.
Do you?
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, they have their own room, too.
The dogs do?
No, the dog and their handler.
And their handler,
right.
Okay.
If you have a service dog, you come in, you have a private room.
Okay. I'm going through this orientation thing, and it's all just makes so much sense to me because it says, you know, the SDTU community is a place where you can live with others instead of withdrawing and bunkering away from each other. Because that's one of the top 10 symptoms of post-traumatic stress is that we have a tendency to bunker and, you know, we don't want to be social at all. And I think the idea, as you pointed out, of just being out there with these same people that have similar situations, nobody's going to be exactly the same. But the idea of being able to just open your heart and let this trauma almost pour out, and then you can decide what you're going to take back in. It's like all interpersonal communication skills. Is you're trying to figure out who you are and what you'd want to do, and you're at the center of that whole wheel. It just seems so logical.
Well, you do build relationships there too.
Yeah.
I'm still in contact with a couple of the guys that I was with, and that was over a year and a half ago. And we still talk. I call to find out how they're doing. They check to see how I'm doing. And it does build a comradeship that you had like when you were in the service, a brotherhood. Mm-hmm. And I think those make you stronger too. I think that you build each other up. At the end of your 7 weeks, you have to go in front of the class, the whole group, and each one says something about you. So it's mind-boggling the friendships that you make. Even the new guys that just came in the week before, because you've been there longer, you probably talked to the newbies. You may even have been their big brother when they came in the first week. So it's the type of thing where it's a togetherness, and it's still a brotherhood of veterans.
Dr. Schaut, when people like Larry are finished with the program, I know they can come back if they want to, but how do you follow up with them?
Both formally and informally. I'll hear from people like Larry once in a while. Once in a while, a phone call. You know, there's kind of a VA requirement that within a week after you're out of the program, that you have an outpatient contact. That's kind of a national VA policy. And sometimes if there's any issue with them getting a local provider to meet with them, we'll call them, we'll check in with them, see how they're doing. There's also a form called an NEPIC form that the VA itself sends out, I think after 3 months, just to check in and see how people are doing. They complete one of those when they finish the program. They can complete one when they come in, and after 3 months, I believe.
Okay, are there other programs in the VA system that are similar to yours at other hospitals around the country, or is yours just so unique?
You want my bias?
Nobody's listening, so don't worry. Go ahead.
There's a whole network of residential programs called PRRTP, PTSD, Rehabilitation Treatment Programs. There's a whole network all over the country. The VA is divided into regions and divisions, and they're throughout the country. And you can find that from the VHA website, the PTSD programs that are all over. I want to also say that the National Center for PTSD has a lot of valuable information for both clinicians and families on there. You can download, you can look at about PTSD. They have newsletters, things like that. What I will say is that since we've been around since 1982, we've learned a lot. We've learned a lot through our partnership with veterans about kind of what's effective, what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
We always operate, you know, we have a midterm treatment review people go through like Larry, and, you know, we get feedback from the veterans about how well we're doing our job as well as how well their treatment's going. So I think by having that partnership, that's, you know, that's kind of what helped things work. One thing I will say is that we practice a form of treatment called eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, or EMDR. We're the first VA in the country to offer that. And even while the VA has offered cognitive processing treatment and prolonged exposure treatments as evidence-based treatments, EMDR is an evidence-based treatment, and we are one of the few VAs that offer that. Now, it's required now for every VA to offer that service to veterans, but we're one of the first to kind of offer it as part of the PTSD, as part of the trauma processing program. And just in my biased opinion, I think that's given us an edge over other VAs that were reluctant or slow to kind of bring that about.
It sounds as though, we don't want to get into the politics of the VA because that'll take all, you know, a couple of shows. But the idea being is that there are programs like yours that are at other VAs. They're similar. They're not exactly the same, but they are similar. And that anybody who's listening to the program within the sound of my voice, which means around the world, if you want to get help, you can. And even if you're a civilian and you go to the post traumatic stress disorder foundation,
the stress disorder treatment unit. Are you talking about National Center for PTSD
National.
Or the VHA?
That's the one.
National.
Okay. So it's, let me back up so it's perfectly clear. Where would a civilian go for help? A civilian.
Where would a civilian go?
Yeah, what would be the website that they go to? The National...
Well, are you talking about for treatment or to find out about...
Just find out about information for the National Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder Association, or what is it called?
Well, the National Center for PTSD is a clearinghouse with information for both professionals, veterans, and family about PTSD.
Okay.
So it's focused on military-related trauma. That can include military sexual trauma. It can include combat PTSD. It's kind of a clearinghouse for information about post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay.
Right. And so that's a website. And if you go to the VHA, va.gov, it should have a link to the... It'll have information about PTSD, and if you click on that, it'll get you to the National Center. Right.
Okay. So, again, theoretically, if I'm working at another VA around the country and I'm not real happy with what's going on, I can ask to be referred to you, or I could self-refer myself to North Chicago.
That's right. These are national programs, so... I think it makes practical sense to kind of go close to home. It makes it easier for home visits and things like that, and for aftercare if you go to your local.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to any PTSD program. You can apply anywhere because it's a service-connected issue, and it's also we have people from all over the country, and I'm going to guess at any one time probably at least half are from Michigan that are in our program. So.
And we had some from Florida, so that's how far they came.
So, but did you go at your own expense to go there, or did anybody cover that?
Okay. Yeah, I think, yeah.
So, some VAs offer some travel assistance to get to the VA, and there's a very small travel. If you have a service connection for PTSD, you get a small travel allowance to go home.
Okay.
But it's not, I wouldn't say it's major by any point.
All right, we're coming up toward the end of the program. It's going a lot faster than I thought it would. So, Larry, in the last couple of minutes, and then I'll have the doctor do the same thing, how would you describe your experience there?
Well, for me, it was, you know, earth-shattering as far as learning some of the things, coping mechanisms that I needed to make it through the day. It's like I tell Doc when I call him or I write him, I have my good days and bad days, and, you know, there are more good days now than there were bad days.
Well, that's important.
But I was impressed with the place. Now, they even had some interns. veteran interns that were working with Doc in our groups that were going on to other places. So they're mm-hmm. learning there, and I think that's important. And I think that some of the other locations that are smaller would be wise to, you know, go there and learn some of the basics mm-hmm. that they've learned over the some 30-some, 40-some years that they've been going. But definitely it was a plus for me, and I would recommend anybody that's having problems that needs that little more step into it, that's mm-hmm. willing to give their time to look into it, definitely.
And Dr. Shout, I know you love the program, otherwise you wouldn't be staying around there for 30 years or so. I guess you, just a couple of final words on what makes your program work. And I know it's the veterans to veterans, but what you guys put extra stuff into this program. The veteran brings their stories, and then you help them through it.
Well, I just really have to say there's a couple of things. There's the collaboration, you know, working as a community, you know, really helps. And also, I'm there 23 years because, you know, they say when you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life, right?
Right.
I get to do what I was trained to do and what I love to do, which is treatment. Any place has a bureaucracy, paperwork, and all the stuff that goes with that territory. And there's more and more every day. But what it comes down to is being able to just spend that time treating veterans, to do the group, to do the individual work, you know, to be a part of that, to make a difference and to play a small part in the veteran making a difference in their own life, and then having that ripple through their family relationships. I mean, it's a huge benefit, and I'm just grateful.
Well, and Larry, we're going to finish up with you.
Another thing I have to give credit to, not only the therapists, but the clerks and the people, the clinicians who work there, are all, you know, plus in my category. Mm-hmm. They help you. They back you. They're there for you. Not only the therapist, but all the people working there.
I want to thank both of you for being on Veterans Radio today. We've been talking with Dr. John Shout from the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center, the Stress Disorder Treatment Unit. Thank you very much for being on our program. Larry Saint-Antoine, thank you very much for going through the program and talking about your story on the air. I know sometimes that can be very difficult. But I wanted to thank both you gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care, Doc.
Take care, Larry.
All right. According to the website, we got about 30 seconds here. It says recovery enables a person to participate fully in the experiences life has to offer. That's the important thing. That's why you go to those particular programs. That's it for this week. I want to make sure that everybody checks us out on podcasts, check us out on Facebook. All of our old programs are on archives. Fly your flag, folks. Until next week, you are dismissed.